I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, so Game 7 tonight, and I should point out Adam Spillane, who is our SportsRadio610.com Rockets reporter, our Rockets insider, he just tweeted this within the last half hour or so, Seth. There are a lot of Rocket fans that like to get worked up when they find out who the officials are for Game 7. I would submit that regardless of who the names are, they could be three names that are made up and get tweeted out, and Rocket fans on Twitter will be like, oh, all is lost. This guy hates the Rockets. And then you go, they actually don't even exist. We were just testing you to see, well, who is it then? And then you give them three names. Well, all is lost. They hate the Rockets. Scott Foster is one of the three referees tonight, and it is interesting to point out, as Adam does here on Twitter, Seth, the Rockets have lost their last seven playoff games officiated by Scott Foster. However, Chris Paul's teams have lost nine straight Scott Foster playoff games. Something's got to give.
Oh.
So the irresistible force meets the immovable object. Scott Foster hate on both sides.
Yeah. Scott Foster is probably one of the most despised by the most fan bases.
I would say so.
Yeah. I don't think it's not unique to Rockets fans, I think, to have disdain for Scott Foster. But he has a particular history with Chris Paul above and beyond, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Because like Chris Paul has actually had meetings with the league and Scott Foster in attendance, almost like mediation, I think, between those two. So I want to say, boy, we'd have to look up a list. This would be a good. We should have Spillane do a piece on this, like do a scorecard of transgressions of Scott Foster versus the Rockets versus Chris Paul with or without the Rockets, and see which is worse.
Yeah, and get it done today, Adam, because Game 7's tonight. So hurry the hell up and get that piece done that Seth is demanding of you for
yes,
Sports
I demand
Radio
610.com.
He does point out, Adam does, the Rockets are 1-0 all-time versus Chris Paul in playoff games officiated by Scott Foster. This is actually a game that we've brought up on the show today, Seth, that famous Game 6 comeback against the L.A. Clippers in 2015. Scott Foster was one of the officials for that game. The game where James Harden was on the bench for the entire fourth quarter as the Rockets were mounting their comeback.
So, that was, there you go. Let's see. James Harden says the ref has a personal issue with CP3 and the Rockets. That was in February of last year.
Okay. Yeah. And CP3 was still here. So,
that was the one where Chris Paul had poked Rajon Rondo. Remember? That got all, that got a lot of drama there.
Yeah. Yep. So Seth, what is in your mind, what's the biggest thing that's at stake tonight? Big picture. We know what's at stake. If the Rockets win, they move on to the next round. But if they lose, what's the most interesting angle that comes out of a Rockets loss, which will mean they will have been knocked out in the first round by the team that they conducted the Westbrook and Chris Paul trade with this past summer?
I think that even though Mike D'Antoni is reportedly in discussions with the Rockets about an extension, I don't know if it's not like those talks can't be cut off at any given moment. And I wonder if they're cut off immediately, but that's not as interesting to me as what it might mean for Daryl Morey. Because even more so than James Harden, right, this franchise has been defined for a decade by Daryl Morey himself, the very man that brought James Harden here. And as you've pointed out multiple times, there's a new owner in Tillman Fertitta, at least still relatively new, who inherited a lot of these key pieces, James Harden and Daryl Morey being probably the biggest ones amongst them. Would this be the first time that Tillman Fertitta really steps in and makes huge changes to the organization?
Yeah, I think that's it to me. This is, if they lose this game tonight, Tillman Fertitta has his first real crossroads as the owner of the Rockets. He's owned the team for 3 years. It's been at times a tumultuous 3 years, and you know, some of that is you know, Tillman's way of handling things. Some of that is just circumstance. Some of it is circumstance that everybody, the NBA and society included, are dealing with right now, whether it's the coronavirus or protests and things like that. These are all things that when you're a business owner and you're a billionaire, you deal with these things on a daily basis. There's been a tsunami of them for Tillman Fertitta in these first 3 years. But Seth, this will be, if they lose tonight, to me, the first real big decision that Tillman probably has to go back and forth on a little bit. The D'Antoni decision will be made, but I do think he'll start to wonder, do we change our general manager? Do we have to break up the two all-stars that we have on the team?
And the other thing that I wonder, though, too, is, you know, I know it's just so easy for some people to discount what Daryl Morey has done by saying, well, show me the rings. It's really, really impressive what Daryl Morey has been able to do with this organization. I think that at this point, given the way that Harden shrank in the last couple minutes of that game, given the fact that there have been multiple exits from the playoffs, that I feel like the shrinkings outweigh the one time in 2018 where you maybe kind of coulda, shoulda beat the Golden State Warriors. All right, great. You know, you had a ridiculous stretch of missed three-pointers, but otherwise you should have won. But the fact of the matter is you didn't do it. I don't think that trading James Harden should be off the table by any stretch of the imagination. I know you're very incredulous about that ever happening, Sean. Let's remember what has happened in the NBA over the last, let's just say, not even the last two or three seasons. Look at Kawhi Leonard getting traded to the Raptors. Look at Russell Westbrook getting traded out of Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. There are trades out there. You know, there are teams that maybe want Harden and would be willing to part with very, very good players and draft picks to get him, that I think that maybe Daryl Morey salvaging his job at some point, if they lose tonight, might be putting that out there on the table and having some kind of a deal for James Harden.
Yeah, now look, you make a great case for the opposite of what I don't think is going to happen. I don't think they trade, put it this way, I don't think Daryl Morey trades James Harden. Now, Daryl Morey, who knows, may not be the general manager if they lose tonight long-term for this basketball team. I just don't know. Now, when we were talking about it earlier, Wade Smith, who was listening, who's actually on In the Loop today, texted you and I a trade. You know, this is what it's going to turn into, a bunch of fantasy trade proposals if they lose tonight, either involving Westbrook or Harden or both. And he brought up one that he said he brought up with Bomani Jones back when he was on the afternoon show as a guest, and Wade ran this one by him. And this one's interesting. What if the Phoenix Suns, you know, which is where James Harden played his collegiate basketball, offered Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton as the key part of a trade? You know, a young center who was a number one overall pick, and Devin Booker, who is a young two guard who's on a second contract now. Some sort of package involving those two things. Hey, if you're trying to reshape the makeup of your team, that would reshape the makeup of your team, and you'd actually be getting an all-star back in return, or an all-star caliber player in Booker. So yeah, Seth, you may be right. There may be deals out there and so forth. I'm more skeptical about the Rockets doing it because I don't think James wants to leave here either. The other ones you brought up, Kawhi wanted out of San Antonio.
Yeah.
Russ was okay with getting traded from OKC. I think James wants to be in Houston.
Yeah, I think he wants to be here. I'm just saying it's on the table. I'm not even advocating it because that's the classic example of, okay, you think you got problems until you try to, it'd be like trying to smash a minor problem, you know, a mosquito with a sledgehammer. You end up creating more damage than it's worth. I'm just saying that it might be on the table.
Yeah.
Like it's possible and it's out there. And I think at least part of it would be that at this moment, like if Harden doesn't redeem himself tonight, if Harden went out of a game 7 loss to Oklahoma City to the guy that they just jettisoned because James Harden didn't like him or get along with him, if that happened tonight, I don't know where the backlash or uproar would be from the Rockets fan base. I think politically it's a lot more easy to pull off right now than it would have been at any time in the last 5 years.
Okay, that's a great point. Now that, okay, so let's go there for a second. They lose tonight, and let's say they lose tonight and it's a Harden performance. He scored 47 points and he's the only reason they were in the game kind of thing. This is one of those performances once again where James kind of shrinks from the moment and the fingers are being pointed and so forth. Who gets the most sort of, I want my pound of flesh anger from the fan base? And let me give you choices to the point where fans are like, this guy needs to be gone. Is it Mike D'Antoni? Is it Daryl Morey? Is it James Harden? Or is it other? You know, whether it's Westbrook or I think Eric Gordon is in the crosshairs right now with a lot of people as well. But he's a cut below Harden as a player, obviously. But let's just keep it at those three. D'Antoni, Morey, Harden. They lose tonight. Who does the fan base want the pound of flesh from?
I feel like a healthy percentage already are out on D'Antoni to begin with. That's a hard one to gauge.
Yep.
Morey, likewise, there's always an undertone of, okay, Morey's not the guy this, Morey's not the guy that. I think it ends up being, in terms of the swing, in terms of actually converting people, I think it ends up being Harden. But again, you're exactly right, John. I don't know what trade you're demanding if you're demanding to trade Harden. Like, it's hard to get. It would be really, really hard to get the actual value for James Harden. And to the point where it doesn't make sense for Morey to do it unless Harden actually also wants out. Because then also, not only have you gotten rid of Harden, but by the way, then Russell Westbrook, the guy who's known for making bad passes like he did at the end of this last game, is the guy that's in charge of all your future first-round draft picks and whatever young guys you get.
Yeah.
I think the Heat's going to be on Morey. And but I guess it's a place where Morey's had heat on him before, and it's only been amplified ever since his China tweet.
Well, and we should point out, Daryl Morey's working. He's under a long-term contract right now. He got a contract extension from Tillman Fertitta within the last year or two. So, he's certainly not working under any pressure of, what happens then? Not that Daryl's worried about keeping the lights on at his house or anything like that, but just within – I mean, he's in a very different situation than Mike D'Antoni, who could get to the NBA Finals and still be gone because he's got no contract after this year.
Yeah.
You know, so going to be interesting tonight, man. Game 7 in the Orlando bubble.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, having said all that, I predict that they'll win tonight. I think it's going to be just this is a whole lot of I'm angry still for staying up late to watch that last night or two nights ago. But for the most part, I'm expecting them to win tonight. They just can't turn the ball over.
I'm expecting them to win tonight, but let me give you a hypothetical. If it's 6 minutes to go in the game and the score is tied, are you expecting them to win at that point as well?
Yes, Sean,
okay.
I am.
All right.
I'm being completely... The fact that I had to think about that for 3.5 seconds.
That's the theme of this series, though, Seth. Yeah. I mean, the Rockets win by double digits when they win, and when it's a close game, they pee down their leg. I mean, it would be logical to change your mind with that hypothetical thrown your way based on the 6 games of data that we have so far.
Yeah. No, it's game 7, and ultimately, honestly, including in the last 6 minutes of the game, usually by that point in the series, whether the superior team, everything just compounds, and the skill difference takes over, the physical dominance takes over.
All right, we are into the 9 o'clock hour here. They added words to the dictionary yesterday. Were these deserving words? What's the process for adding words to the dictionary? We will we'll tell you what words got added. One in particular, as a wrestling fan, I'm a big fan of this one being in the dictionary. We will hit that next. All right, so this was actually a story on ESPN.com yesterday. And at first I thought, man, I wonder if this is a story because they televise the spelling bee. You know, the spelling bee is actually televised on ESPN, and I watch it every year because I'm just mesmerized by it. I'm fascinated because these kids are spelling words I didn't even know existed. But this headline was on ESPN.com was the fact that the word jabroni got official dictionary status. And if you're wondering why jabroni, and you've probably heard the word used before, I've probably used it on this show, it's because it's a term made famous by the wrestling community, specifically the Iron Sheik. And then The Rock is probably the most famous person to incorporate the word jabroni. And if you're wondering, if maybe you're not familiar with the term and you're wondering exactly what it means, I think this audio right here will provide a good context clue as to what exactly a jabroni is.
Undertaker, Mankind, Kane, and The Big Show. The Rock says you all four jabronis can go right down to the Tropicana Hotel. It's right up the road. You find the absolute best slot machine you can find. You can't miss it. It's got a big Brahma bull on the front, and it says the People's Slot Machine.
Yeah, I saw that.
So I think you can tell from those context clues, jabroni, Seth, not a complimentary term.
I didn't realize that The Rock invented that. For some reason, I thought it was the Iron Sheik.
The Iron Sheik, the Iron Sheik did invent it, and The Rock kind of took it from the Iron Sheik. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I see. Well, how come The Rock is getting so much credit for it all over the internet?
Because he made it famous. I mean,
yeah, but see, like, people are saying that he coined it. Like, he didn't coin it.
No, he just took it to the next level.
I feel like I'm surprised because, like, the Iron Sheik is not. Let's tell him not the most politically correct person on earth.
No.
I'm surprised that he doesn't, like, just hate and death threat The Rock routinely because he's getting credit for coining his phrase.
He likes The Rock. He was friends with The Rock's dad, Rocky Johnson.
So I think,
you know, Rock's a third generation wrestler. So
I think The Rock needs to do a better job of letting everybody know that he didn't actually invent the term.
That it was the Iron Sheik who did it?
He's popularizing it, yeah.
For those who don't know, it's now defined by Webster's. Jabroni is in the dictionary now, and it's defined by Webster's as a stupid, foolish, or contemptible person, or a loser, or in wrestling, it's also called an enhancement talent. It's a wrestler whose purpose is to lose matches against headlining wrestlers in order to build up the status and fame of the headliners.
I thought you meant like an enhancement entertainer. I thought that you meant like Blue Chew or something.
No. It's not a penile enlargement thing. No, it's
okay.
Not. It's not.
All right.
Well,
Blue Chew's not an enlargement thing. Nobody claims that, right? The FDA is a.
Right. Well, I mean, it maintains enlargement.
It does enlarge it, right? Yeah. They're not claiming that it's going to be any larger than it would have been like two months before.
Right. Gotcha. Did you see the other words that were added to the dictionary yesterday, Seth?
Well, I saw them. For the life of me, I can't remember. I got stuck on jabroni.
Yeah, jabroni, that's a legit word. Am I right? All one word got added. You know, like when people make a stupid joke and they go, am I right? Paul Gallant used to do that a lot. Paul Gallant.
What's the definition of that, though? Does it have to be used sarcastically or ironically? Because usually it's almost like it's part of anti-humor, where you're making a joke that you know is a stupid joke, but you're kind of letting everybody know that you know it's a stupid joke by saying, am I right? Am I right?
Right,
you know?
Right. I'm looking at dictionary.com. Here's what it says. Am I right is an internet slang spelling of the rhetorical tag question, am I right? Am I right is often sarcastic in tone.
Oh, good job.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, they brought up the sarcastic part
of
it.
That's right. Ish was added to the dictionary.
Ish?
Ish.
Is that like as a euphemism for another swear word? Look at this ish?
I think it's a euphemism for the S word.
Right.
Yeah.
What's their definition?
I'm going to look at it right now on dictionary.com.
I wonder if it actually is dictionary. Yeah.
Let's see. Well, they have ish in there used to modify something, like putting, you know, like foolish or, you know, that kind of thing. It only has the definition of near or approximately, you know, like, about 50-ish, that kind of thing. So ish, but I think it was ish, the slang term that was added to the dictionary. And then I love this word, janky.
Wait, so are you telling me they added it to their online dictionary without actually bothering to update their online dictionary?
Possibly, yes.
The hell, dictionary.com. I can't trust you anymore. Which, by the way, whenever somebody sends me when somebody tries to get in an argument about with you about like the best definition of a word or something, if they send you dictionary.com, just go ahead and delete that person from
your
context.
Is that like a dullard version of the dictionary?
It's not. Yeah, I don't think anybody looks at it as an authority.
Okay.
It's kind of like it's like one of these. It's the equivalent of a news aggrandizing site where they're just rehashing a whole bunch of other people's actual definitions.
Okay, I got you.
I don't know if they employ any actual lexicologists.
Lexicologists?
That's somebody who studies words.
Wow.
It's an actual thing.
That's
what you have, like, if you grow up saying, like, I want to be a lexicologist, you're going to get beat up a lot.
Where do you come out on the word janky?
Janky?
Because they do have that, of extremely poor or unreliable quality. As in, this software is pretty janky.
I'm good. You know what? Honestly, for a long time, I didn't know if janky was a word that was. I thought it might have been one of those words that you use, and then you realize later on that, you shouldn't be using that word because it might be a little bit of a slur somehow.
Yeah.
It has that sound to it a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's where. So I was very careful not to use janky for a long time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's in the dictionary now.
Well, so it was kind of like, you know, like the whole, like, for shizzle, that stuff. Like, people would be using stuff that, like, is almost like a replacement for another word that you're not supposed to say. And then all of a sudden, all these white suburban people are blithely going on about, you know, basically using racial slurs without even knowing
it.
Anytime I hear a new word, like, I'm very, very careful. Like, I have to do, like, a half-hour internet search to be sure that I can actually use that word
you
without
call
getting
all
canceled.
Your friends of black and Hispanic heritage, all your various friends that are not Anglo-Saxon Protestants.
Yeah. I just throw it right out there. How would you feel if I called you a janky? Are you okay? Are you my janky? Okay, yes. For sure, my janky. Does that bother you at all? Okay.
Seth has a group text that looks like the United Nations, and he just sends words like, hey, can you guys get back to me if I'm allowed to use this word? Can you let me know? Because I want to sound cool. I want to sound like the kids these days.
Yeah,
I want to run around using the word janky.
They're my testing group. Yeah.
So, hey, Seth, you'll be pleased to know that Dwayne The Rock Johnson did give the Iron Sheik credit for the word jabroni in a documentary about the Iron Sheik. His impact on my career has been really profound. The word jabroni is connected to me when a lot of people think, oh, jabroni, oh, yeah, it's The Rock's word. No, it's not my word. It's the Iron Sheik's word.
You know what? To put a sports spin on this, look, we're talking sports because we're talking about the WWE.
That's right.
Mostly a sport. It's an athletic event.
They're
very good athletes that do it.
There are.
So I would say that this is a little bit like Dick LeBeau always getting credit for having invented the zone blitz. When Dom Capers was pretty much doing it alongside, Dom Capers in Pittsburgh and Dick LeBeau in Cincinnati were kind of doing it at the same time. They were feeding off of each other. And yet Dick LeBeau gets more credit for it. It's always annoyed me that Dom doesn't get as much credit as he does.
So Dom is like the Iron Sheik in this whole thing.
Yeah, exactly. He's exactly
can
like
you
the
imagine,
Iron Sheik.
Can you imagine if Dom Capers started doing shoot videos like the Iron Sheik has up on YouTube right now, where he's just going off on things?
Can you imagine Dom Capers and Dick LeBeau getting in a fight? Of course, Dom would have Dick LeBeau in the camel clutch in a heartbeat.
In a bear hug.
Yeah, like LeBeau's an incredible defensive coordinator and a brilliant dude, but he doesn't have those traps, you know, shoulder development that Dom Capers does.
Dom would crush his chest cavity with a bear hug in about 5 seconds. Someone says janky is jabroni and Yankee put together. That's right. It's a New York Yankee that's playing poorly is known as a janky. Garrett Cole, janky right now.
Janky. Yeah. Who's the jankiest jabroni right now in Houston sports? Like in Houston sports opponents. Like who do we hate the most? Well, Joe Kelly.
Yeah.
I was a Cody Bellinger to a certain degree. He's kind of a jabroni.
Chris Paul right now.
Chris Paul a jabroni?
Yeah, yeah. But Chris Paul's playing well. Like jabroni, you've got to be playing poorly. Like jabroni means you're not good at your job either.
Right.
Yeah. So
is there a jabroni? I feel like a lot of people feel like Jadeveon Clowney is a jabroni. I like that jabroni.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't like. They would call him a jabroni.
The biggest jabroni in Texans history, I would say it is a dead heat between 2013 Schaub and 2016 Osweiler. Those are the biggest jabronis in Texans history, and both of whom were janky at times as well. Yes,
it should be a hands down winner in that competition of Osweiler, because every now and then I would say like every 7 to 9 months I have a pang of remorse over the fact that people just flat out refuse to admit that Matt Schaub ever did anything good as a quarterback.
Fair
in
enough.
Houston.
Yes,
and it's kind of shocking how quickly they just cast aside anything good he had done because of that one miserable season where I felt like he was physically just washed up. Whereas Osweiler was in his physical prime, and Osweiler at one point actually had the gall to say that he felt like, as much as the Texans coaches like to talk about Tom Brady, he's his own man. What the hell are you to sit and act like, oh, no, I couldn't learn anything from Tom Brady?
He was right. He is his own man.
You extreme jabroni.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
You janky jabroni.
I wish an Iron Sheik camel clutch upon you.
Yes.
And all your progeny.
There you go. And all your progeny on your kids.
Maybe that was a little too far.
A
little jabroni.
A little steep, yeah. All right, Rockets,
Pizza-ish.
Game 7 tonight. Yeah, you should try to use all 5 of those words in a sentence. Rockets game 7 tonight. We actually already have the blueprint for what's going to happen tonight. It's already been set, and it's been set by the other two teams in town in the past calendar year. We will explain to you as we get on the record what we think happens tonight in game 7 next. All right, so Game 7 tonight. There's a lot going on, man. Astros back at it tonight. Texans have their final scrimmage. They're going to start cutting guys tomorrow, it sounds. Actually, they've already started cutting guys. They cut Albert Huggins. They cut their third-string quarterback. So they've started cutting guys already. Huggins got picked up by the Lions, I think. So if they were trying to sneak him onto the practice squad.
Not are you allowed? Happen. You're not allowed in this one like you were allowed in the last one?
I'm not. So. Yeah, no, my time as an insider to the extent that I was allowed to go to the scrimmage is over. It's too bad, but the good news is there's a Game 7 tonight to keep me distracted. And Bill O'Brien and Deshaun Watson will meet with the media tonight following the scrimmage, so we should get some stuff from them tonight that you'll hear tomorrow here on Sports Radio 610 as we take you to the season opener a week from tomorrow between the Texans and the Chiefs with tons of exclusive content and insider access here where the Texans play. The Texans play here on Sports Radio 610. So, Seth, speaking of the Texans, speaking of the Astros, I started thinking about this past calendar year, really, going back to October of 2019. We're lucky right now. We live in a pretty good time in Houston sports. You know, we're a few years removed from the Astros championship, so that's our last title of these three teams, but it's still been a pretty nice run that we're in the middle of. We've got three teams that are perennial playoff teams that give us plenty of extra basketball, baseball, and football to watch, and we all hope that one, two, or three of them can once again achieve at a championship level. But what comes with going to the postseason ultimately can be postseason heartbreak. And if I'm asking myself, what happens tonight in Game 7 of a first-round series between the Thunder and the Rockets? Can we look to the stars? Can we look to the past 10 months and say, okay, there's a pattern here that's developing that will show us the way as to what will happen tonight? And what I want to do is take you back. Let's start with the Astros. We go back to October of 2019, and this is the ALCS, and we remember Jose Altuve maybe giving us maybe the greatest moment for a lot of Houston sports fans up to that point, other than winning a World Series. I got chills just hearing that again. I got chills on the right side of my face and down the spine, down my spine. It was
the sound of just how many thousands of Yankees fans
crying
what
out.
They thought could never have happened.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that Chapman's fastball was garbage.
Right.
They would for years afterwards be convinced that Chapman's fastball wasn't garbage that night.
Yep.
And that there was no way it could have happened other than that. That still brings me joy, because honestly, that led to the Yankees stopping at nothing to get Gerrit Cole,
right,
who has been an extreme disappointment for them so far.
He's been a janky jabroni.
Yeah, he's been a janky jabroni,
right,
and he's less than one full year into an eight-year contract.
That's right, that's right.
So enjoy that for the rest of your, enjoy your Pittsburgh Pirates version of Gerrit Cole for the next 7.5 years.
So that was a really cool moment in the postseason within the last calendar year. Unfortunately, just a couple of weeks later, Game 7, World Series, we all remember.
He struck out 11, walked one, opponent sitting 176 against him. That's down the right field line into the corner. This ball is gone for a home run. Nationals on top. Howie Kendrick has made it 3-2. Off the pole and right.
So the ultimate high with Altuve sending them to the World Series, Seth, and then the ultimate low of Howie Kendrick taking what was a pretty good pitch by Will Harris and bouncing it off the foul pole in right field.
Yeah.
And the rest is history.
You know what my memory of that was, Sean? What? I was sitting down and I was sitting down the third baseline in that game, and there were a few Nationals fans, a couple rows behind us, mm-hmm. At the end of the game, I turned around and I was walking out, and there were a couple, maybe 9 and 11-year-old boys that were brothers, looked like they were brothers on my way out, and I was going to, back when it was acceptable to give people high fives,
yeah,
I was going to give them a little, I was like, hey guys, congratulations, and I went to give the kid a high five, and he looked at me like, I don't need your high five.
Wow.
I was trying to be gracious in defeat. Sean, I've gone back, and I'm the people at the Astros organization are going to help me with this. I'm going to isolate and find out just who those boys were. And 9, 10 years from now, by the time they turn 18, there's going to be a brawl. Right. There's going to be a fight. Okay, when they reach adulthood, this old man's going to come and smack the crap out of those two children.
Probably the best that you could have done in terms of like a comeback to that, because your team just lost, would be to walk over and go, "Hey, man, act like you've been there before." Oh, that's right, you haven't been there before. Yeah,
I think at least part of it was that they'd probably been well trained by their parents not to talk to strangers.
That could be another.
I was a big hulking stranger, trying to
gigantic
touch them.
Strangers.
Hey, kid, let me touch you. You know, okay, you know what? Okay, fair point. Fair point.
Good job. All right, so the Astros last October, highest of highs, lowest of lows. Let's move on to the Texans, who in the playoffs. Wild card round, we remember that play. That game will be remembered forever for a few Deshaun Watson plays, but this one probably more than any of them.
Second and six at the Bills, 44. Here's the snap. Here's a blitz. Watson in trouble. Watson escapes to the right side, and Watson throws it to Jones. Cutting inside 40, 35, 30, the 25, 20, 15, and down to the 10-yard line. What a play! The magician does it again.
I chills again, man. It's passing the chill test. I got chills on the right side of my face and down my and on my right leg this time. The hair on my shin for
is that
some
a,
reason.
Is that are you sure you're okay, or is that a stroke?
No, I don't know.
You
who cares right
toast.
Now?
That was okay.
I don't care. We're talking about Deshaun Watson. I'm excited. So that was again early playoff success where you go, man, this is one of the greatest moments I've ever gotten to experience as a Houston sports fan. Deshaun Watson doing Deshaun Watson things. To get the Texans into the divisional round of the playoffs. That was pretty cool, right? Like, that was a great day. It was a great day. It lasted for a week. It was a lot of fun. It was a fun week. And then the Texans built up a 24-0 lead against Kansas City. And then it was 24-7. And then it was 24-14. And it's still the second quarter. And you can start to feel things going the wrong way. And then, unfortunately, DeAndre Carter exacerbated the problem.
Here's Carter at the 1 yard line, straight ahead, 5, 10, 15, cuts right, 20, and the ball is out, and the Chiefs got it. Thompson running left inside the 10, and he's down to the 8 yard line.
Oh my goodness.
Darwin Thompson, a running back, had the ball pop right into his hands, and the Chiefs have a first and goal.
All right, so you can hear Andre Ware in the background. Like, Andre Ware looks like he wants to kill himself.
There were so many unanswered points after that too.
Yes.
I know. I understand and appreciate wanting to, you know, stick up for Deshaun or whatever. But I've seen some people act like it was Deshaun that got them to that 24-0 lead and that it was completely the defense's fault that the Texans didn't win that game. That was a complete and utter and total collapse. The offense benefited from some very short fields to get to that 24-0 lead. And then all of those points that the Chiefs scored were completely unanswered by the Texans. The Chiefs, they ran out of gunpowder to fire those damn fireworks after all their scores.
They did.
I got PTSD.
That's a true story.
Yeah, they couldn't fire their stupid fireworks off anymore.
Yes, yeah.
This is Pat
Texans
Mahomes.
Were jabronis that day. I can't put it any other way.
They jabronied. What was the other word? A janky.
Janky. They were janky. They were janky jabronis that day. Yeah.
Just complete pieces of ish.
Yeah.
According to dictionary.com.
That's right.
Who hasn't bothered to update their. I think that Pat Mahomes has become Tom Brady in several respects, but especially in the way that there's no lead that is ever safe when Pat Mahomes. You know, think about how many times, like, you've been watching Monday Night Football and the Patriots looked like trash and they're down at the half. And if it were any other quarterback, including Peyton Manning, honestly,
yep.
You'd say, like, all right, I'm going to bed. Whatever. Maybe they pull it out. With Tom Brady, it was always, okay, well, who knows? That's Pat Mahomes now. He's done it so routinely and so often. And the thing about Anthony Weaver was talking about Pat Mahomes and his ability to throw from anywhere and do anything in a way that he's never seen from a quarterback before. And it's true because, Tom Brady is not a mobile quarterback, right? So you don't worry about him fleeing the pocket, but his kryptonite is if he gets pressure right up the middle because he's not mobile at all, that when he has to scramble or when he has pressure right in his face, it gets really ugly for him. Mike Vick, amongst the most mobile quarterbacks ever, the book on him for a long time was, look, let him roll to his right. He's not good when he's rolling to his right, so you kind of try almost invite him to do that. Close off the left at all costs because he's a lefty. with Mahomes, there is almost no weakness. Like, there's no part that a defensive coordinator can go into the game and say, okay, we're going to take this away from him because he really loves this. That's what's so scary about him.
Yeah, here's, and we're going to circle this back to the Rockets, but just for context, here is Weaver, the cut that Seth is talking about. Weaver, very complimentary of Patrick Mahomes.
He's honestly one of the best quarterbacks I've ever seen. And the thing about him is the play is never over. You think you got him in the grasp, he escapes, and he's chucking the ball down the field. Doesn't matter if he escapes to the right of the pocket, the left side of the pocket. He can make every throw from every angle. The guy is remarkable. What poses the biggest problem, particularly as a rusher, is typically when you're facing quarterbacks, you can give him a launch point. This guy likes to launch the ball between anywhere from 7 yards to, you know, 6.5 behind the snap. You can't say that about Pat. He could throw this ball from anywhere on the football field and still make every throw. So he certainly poses a problem, but, you know, we're going to do our best to try to limit his explosive plays.
All right, so that'll be next Thursday. Of course, the season opener that you'll hear right here on Sports Radio 610 as we take you up to that opener. The Texans play here on Sports Radio 610. The highlight we heard, obviously, was the playoff game last year. And to bring this back around to the Rockets, Seth, so Astros really high in the ALCS and then came crashing down in the World Series. Texans really high in the wild card round, came crashing down in the divisional round. There's a pattern developing here, and the pattern is a good one for tonight, but may not bode well long term. So if you just want them to get through the Thunder, just know that the pattern tells us that the Rockets will get through this round because the Astros got through this round and the Texans got through this round. The suicidal thoughts won't start to set in until the next round against LeBron James. So tonight will be good. Enjoy tonight. Have a drink tonight. Tonight's going to be fine. They are going to win the game tonight because the pattern is established. These Houston teams can at the very least get through the early rounds of the postseason. It's a little later on when they run into trouble.
There are some things about Oklahoma City. Even though Oklahoma City isn't as good a basketball team as the Lakers, there's some ways that Oklahoma City matches up better versus the Rockets than the Lakers do. And the Lakers have had some trouble versus small ball this year, including the fact that, like, nobody – the Thunder this year ran a whole bunch of ISO, you know, and the Rockets weren't necessarily able to run their conventional defense to flummox Oklahoma City. So I'm intrigued by the Rockets versus the Lakers. The Rockets versus the Lakers, Sean – they're not supposed to win that one.
Yeah.
It's huge. Like, you're the underdog. It's awesome. There's no embarrassment or shame in losing to the Lakers. The embarrassment and shame in losing to the Thunder is, it's on so many levels. That's why this is such a good Hollywood script, because, like, a Hollywood script that just has one plot and it's like one guy doesn't like another guy and then they fight, that's a boring movie. When you add layers upon it where there are, people have betrayed each other and friends become enemies, enemies become friends, that's got all of this. I watch tonight and I think of that annoying billionaire lady that sits next to the scorer's table up in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
That lady's going to be triumphant.
Yeah.
I think of Presti, the GM, and I think of how he's going to be triumphant because the guy that he traded away however many years ago and hasn't heard the end of about that just got put down by his team and Chris Paul, the guy that he traded for. I think about all those annoying Oklahoma City, the son of the owner up there in Oklahoma City that tried to fight Pat Beverly that time. That piece of crap is going to feel triumphant.
This would be, in the James Harden era, this is the 8th postseason of the James Harden era, by my count. This would be the most embarrassing of the 8 ousters from the postseason, without question. You go back to his first year here was before Dwight got here. They were an underdog to Oklahoma City in the playoffs, so they were an underdog. There's no shame in being the underdog and losing that playoff series. The next year was Dwight's first year. That was the Damian Lillard 0.9 seconds left. He knocked you out of the playoffs. That was disappointing, but it wasn't embarrassing. And then you get knocked out, what, 4 times by the Warriors? You got knocked out by one of the greatest teams in history 4 times. Was it frustrating? Hell yeah, it was. Was it infuriating at times? Hell yeah. Did it feel unfair when Chris Paul pulled his hamstring and you lost? Of course it did. But those aren't embarrassing losses when you lose to the Warriors. And then there was the one to the Spurs, which is about as close to embarrassing as you can get considering how the elimination game went. No Kawhi Leonard. You lose at home. You lose by 30-plus points. This would be the most embarrassing series loss, though, of all of these because of what the storyline was coming in. You dumped Chris Paul with a bunch of first-round picks attached to him, a bunch of pick swaps attached to him. to get Russell Westbrook here, basically telling Chris Paul, you ain't worth this money, and we like Russell Westbrook better than you. This would be Chris Paul jabbing the sword in your heart and having moments already in this series, Seth, where he's done that. If they win tonight, Oklahoma City, Chris Paul inherently is going to be a big part of it. They're not going to win tonight if Chris Paul doesn't have a good game. So I think those two go hand in hand with one another. If they win, it means Chris Paul had a good game. And this, to me, would be the most embarrassing of the 8 playoff eliminations of the Harden era, which is kind of saying something.
Somebody just texted us saying The Expendables, Seth. So I haven't seen any of The Expendables, so I don't know if that's an example of a good script or a bad script. Is that a good – have you seen The Expendables?
I've not, no.
A bunch of jabronis up in there, right? A bunch of washed-up jabronis.
Right.
Sly Stallone.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, I haven't seen
okay.
it.
Okay. I'll have to – for the good of the show, I'll watch it tonight as I wait for the Oklahoma City Thunder slash Houston Astros – excuse me. The Houston Rockets slash Houston Astros doubleheader.
Yeah.
Sean, you've got your fancy new TV set up, so you'll be watching that.
I do.
I'll be flipping it back and forth on my Vizio that won't die.
There you go.
Just, damn, everybody makes fun of my Vizio. Yeah, they've been making fun of me for 12 years.
That's
Thank
right.
you very much. It's honestly, my 12-year-old Vizio, I don't want to exaggerate. It's 8 years old. My 8-year-old Vizio, it has better and more reliable smart TV functions than any of my newer televisions.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's disgusting. You disgust me. Oh, I was about to say the name of the brand that's currently disgusting me, but they might want to sponsor me.
They may. So, you never know. Yeah. You never know. All right, Seth, so you and I are both on the record. Rockets win tonight.
Yeah, the Rockets win tonight.
I think the Rockets win
tonight. You'll have to hold off. And then I look forward to the Lakers series.
Yeah, should be fun. Should be fun. Seth, have a great day, my friend.
Antibodies, T-cells, and John McClain taking your question seriously to you.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. All right, so that's Seth Payne. Thank Ben Gary for producing. Tonight, Game 7. Let's go get it. And, of course, we'll have continued coverage of the Texans leading up to next week's opener against the Kansas City Chiefs. All the insider stuff, exclusive access, you're getting it right here on Sports Radio 610 where the Texans play. The Texans play here on Sports Radio 610. Download that radio.com app, people. Do it for me. Do it as a personal favor. We are done. We are out of time. We'll see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Have a great day, everybody. In the Loop next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.